Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us your word to be a lamp to our feet and a light on our path. Help us to humble ourselves at the feet of Jesus, to be ready to listen to him and to do what he calls us to do. Help us to humble ourselves as little children so that we can be part of that kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let the children come to me and do not stop them. Charles Francis Adams, the 19th century political figure and diplomat, kept a diary for himself. One day he entered these words, "Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted." His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which is still in existence. On that same day, Brooke Adams made this entry, "Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life." The father thought he was wasting his time while fishing with his son, but his son saw it as an investment of time. The only way to tell the difference between wasting and investing time is to know one's ultimate purpose in life and to judge accordingly. Parents bringing little children to be baptized, is it a waste of time or is it an investment? And were the parents in our text, in our gospel text this morning, who were bringing their children to Jesus Christ, were they wasting time or they were doing an investment in their lives? How I wish that when children grow up, children who are baptized as infants, they could look back to those years and say to themselves, "Oh, what a wonderful investment that our parents, that my parents did in my life by bringing me for baptism." The touch of the Master surely meant something more than a simple touch in our gospel reading this morning. In our passage, we are introduced to a debate about the value and the importance of the little children and how we should evaluate them. That was the issue in the debate, and the two sides in the debate, one was the parents of the little children on the one hand, and the disciples on the other. Presumably, the people who brought children to Jesus were their parents, and perhaps they were a little superstitious. They brought their babies, we are told, in order that they might be touched, that Jesus might touch them. Maybe they thought there was something magical about Jesus' touch. However, Matthew tells us that they also asked Jesus to pray for their babies. So they were genuine in wanting a blessing for their children. That's the first side of the debate, the parents. But on the other side, there were the disciples. They saw what the parents were trying to do and wanted to do, and they rebuked them and tried to stop them. Probably they thought that Jesus was too busy, or if not too busy, was so tired to be bothered with a lot of screaming babies. But they misjudged their master, as have many other people ever since those days. They thought Jesus was busy and that he needed not to be disturbed because he was tired. They misjudged Jesus. They did not see the value of these children and the importance of what Jesus was doing. Unwanted babies in the ancient Greco-Roman world were either killed or were exposed to die on their own. Today, they are consigned to the hospital incinerator. And so Christians need to continue to protest even against the appalling abortion statistics throughout the world. In the United Kingdom, the number was 186,416 in 2015. And perpetrators of abortion believe that these are unwanted children. But we must also protest against the widespread abuse of children, both physical and sexual abuse, in our society. Unwanted babies or children. So getting back to our text, between these two groups, the parents on the one hand and the disciples on the other, stood Jesus. And Jesus stands out here as the champion of little children. He was indignant with the indignation of the disciples and he intervened on the children's behalf. Please notice that there are at least three precious sentences which Jesus spoke and to which we need to give attention this morning. First, he said, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them." Secondly, he said, "The kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And thirdly, "Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." So firstly then, let the children come to me. It's a terrible thing when we as the disciples of Jesus try to hinder children from coming to him or those he is encouraging to come. In our text, he specifically encourages children to come to him and calls us not to hinder them from coming. The disciples were determining who could come and who could not, who could touch Jesus and who shouldn't. They thought the children were unworthy of the master's time. The disciples were not grasping the importance of Jesus' touch, even for little children. Their understanding of the blessing and power of God was immature. No one should ever be stopped or discouraged from coming to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 13, Christ pronounced judgment upon the scribes and Pharisees when he said, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in." Christ condemned the religious leaders for blocking the doorway to heaven. They themselves did not enter through the doorway to heaven. They rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They favored their own ideas to God's word. They chose the things of this world over the things of God. And in their refusal to accept God's way, not only did they not go through the door, but also blocked the door to heaven for others. So may we never be guilty of hindering people from coming to Christ, whether by our behavior, by the inconsistencies and lack of integrity of our everyday living, or in some other way we hinder people from coming to Christ. It's a very serious thing, and may we never be guilty of this. So that's the first thing. Let the children, let them come to me and don't hinder them. And secondly, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now the kingdom of God belongs to these, that is children. For the only people in the kingdom of God are children. Which is why if you want to get into the kingdom, Jesus said, you have got to become like children. Let me permit myself a little digression about infant baptism at this point. Please don't get up and leave if you don't believe in infant baptism. I know there are some people who believe that you have to be an adult before you are baptized. I think that the Church of Scotland does not believe that it is essential in the church that everybody believes the same thing, or that it is essential that we have the same worldview, we do just the same thing. No, even about baptism, we don't believe so much that it is about the volume of water that is necessary to validate baptism. And whether it is children or adults, they are to be baptized. Those are not essential questions. We have the liberty to choose. Now, if parents feel very strongly that they don't want their children baptized, we certainly don't press this upon them. We allow it to their consciences. But nevertheless, I want to suggest that in our text this morning, we are given a major argument in favor of infant baptism that it can be defended biblically. We all know that the practice of circumcision in the New Testament meant that children of godly parents were in the covenant of God. So the circumcision was a sign of their covenant membership. So Jesus here says the children are in the kingdom of God. And also Paul the Apostle says that they are in the church of God. And that is to say, he says in 1 Corinthians 7:14 that they are holy. That is, they belong to the holy people of God. So if they are in the covenant of God, in the kingdom of God, in the church of God, then surely it is right to administer to them the sign, the symbol of their membership, which is baptism. So baptism doesn't make anybody a Christian, whether a baby or an adult, but it acknowledges that through baptism into a Christian family, they belong to God at least until they grow up and are ready of their own free will to repent and to believe in Jesus. That's a little digression. But so far we've looked at, let the children come to me, and the kingdom of God belongs to them. And now finally, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Like a little child. Childlikeness is what Jesus sets before us as his ideal for you and me who desire to be his followers. Unless we change, unless we are converted, he says in another passage, and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom. And in Matthew 18 verse 4, whoever humbles himself like a child will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. So you see, entry into the kingdom is not possible without it. Greatness in the kingdom is measured by it. So what sort of quality is childlikeness? What does it mean? It does not mean that we should be irresponsible as children, because children are irresponsible, we know that. But that we should adopt the cold and forgiving attitude of children who do not keep a record of wrongs and who keep on loving even people who have wronged them a while ago. Friend, you know what God does to people who are childlike? We are told this morning in our Old Testament lesson, he takes them out of the nation. He gathers them from all the countries and brings them back into their own land. He sprinkles clean water on them and he makes them clean. For God says, I will cleanse you from all your iniquities, your impurities, and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you a heart of stone and replace that with a heart of flesh. May God help us to be childlike, to come to him like children, so that the doors of heaven will be open to us. Because he stands at the door and he knocks. If anyone hears God's voice and answers, he will come in and dwell with him, and he with him. Amen. Let us pray. Help us, most merciful Father, not only to worship you, but to worship you in humble spirit, so that we may enjoy eternity with you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.